Hi everyone, and welcome to Film Club with Casper. This is episode 11 or 12 of the show.
Wow.
Thank you, Bill. I'm here with Bill Milner, the actor from... What am I going to say you're from? Go on, pick two films.
Okay. I would say Son of Rambo. Yes. I love that film. It's great, but that was also 14 years ago. Maybe I need to improve.
And then the X-Men.
Yeah, but again, I think that was like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Most recently seen on stage at the National Theatre.
Oh,
or it's not. Oh, this isn't a theatre world.
No, that's fine. Don't worry.
Sorry, film buffs.
Yeah. In the Antipodes by Annie Baker.
Yes.
At the NT, as I call it. And we're here to discuss Małgorzata Szumowska's film from 2015, Body. And Bill's going to give us the Polish title.
I believe it's pronounced Ciało.
Ciało. So I think I'll give a little bit of the gist of the film for people who haven't watched it, even though you should have watched it.
Otherwise, yeah, what are you doing here?
Why are you even listening?
Put it down, rent it on Amazon,
yes,
then come back.
Give that money to Bezos. So the film is about... Well, it's intersecting stories about an attorney whose job connects him with various deaths, fatalities, accidents in the Warsaw area where he works and lives, who lives with his daughter, an anorexic young woman, and both of them are at odds since the death of his wife, her mother. In a second kind of interweaving storyline, the film is also about Anna, a counsellor who helps Olga, the daughter, along with her eating disorder. Doesn't help her along with it. What's the word? counsels her.
Yeah. Rehabilitation.
Yeah. Who fancies that she has supernatural insights, and who tells the father that she can connect him with his deceased wife. Have I got that about right? Is that it?
Yeah, she's a medium.
She's a medium, yeah.
As well as being a counsellor and rehabilitator.
Yes. And one of those is a real job and the other is sort of not. And
a word I might have just made up.
I love
we'll
it.
We'll be hearing a lot.
Counsellor and rehabilitator.
Yeah.
And that's the plot, essentially, of the film.
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I really did.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
But Bill and I were basically not talking about the film before we came on, because we didn't want to ruin it for each other. But
I could
sense from your text that you'd really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I really had. I really didn't know what to expect. Casper asked what film I perhaps wanted to watch for this podcast, and I couldn't decide. So you picked for us. But I had mentioned perhaps Polish cinema. One, because I hear it's very good.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff happening in Polish cinema.
Yes, so much. And also, my flatmate is half Polish and speaks fluent Polish, so I thought it was quite fun to maybe have an insight from him.
Yeah.
And you picked Body.
Yeah.
Well done.
What were his insights? Because I feel like I was going to say, like, this film feels typically Polish, but like I know anything about Polish culture. But it does fit, like, I don't know, from what I've seen, that particular, you know, that weird kind of tone. The comedic tone, especially of the film.
I suppose when you first suggested it, I did a little bit of research, wanted to see what I was getting myself into. And everywhere it was describing it as a comedy.
Mm.
And whilst I was watching it, I don't think I necessarily found it laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
And whereas Adam sat next to me was every so often giving a little chuckle. And at the end of the film, he said that Polish humour is extremely cynical and very dry. It's actually in all the tiny throwaways or in the change of tiny words in language.
Mm-hmm.
He laughed when Anna, the counsellor and medium, wants to speak to the attorney, and she basically pops her head around the corner and she says, "Can we talk?" But Adam laughs because the word she used for talk is like a little chit chat. It's just in those tiny little things in language that it's a shame that we miss, but it was nice to have experienced that next to someone who was fluent Polish.
Yeah. I feel like her character is especially funny in the film. I was pissing myself when, you know, that scene where she's kind of dancing with the women that she's working with, the anorexic women,
right?
And they put on some music, and then you just see her kind of hopping along in her kind of like midi length skirt.
Yeah, visually, I think across the board, the casting is really like lends itself to that physical comedy.
Yeah, completely.
It is all a bit awkward and gawky, and I mean, the sort of montage, I suppose you call it, with her dog Fredek is,
oh my gosh,
just brilliant and hilarious and a real kind of lesson in great physical comedy. So funny. And that it's funny though, those moments intercut with really almost quite slapstick style comedy. I mean, the dog sort of trying to slap a sandwich out of her hand or whatever.
Yeah.
And then intercut with some more sort of troubling and harrowing subject matter. I really enjoyed that. I like watching films that aren't defined by a genre.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did find it strange when they said it was a comedy, because I think it actually branches over lots of different genres.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's weird, like, yeah, as you were saying, the casting, that visual element, like these are sort of types almost that she's subjecting us to, not subjecting us to, but showing us, you know, the sort of almost just the contrast in the bodies between these people.
Yeah.
You've got the fuller figured father.
The attorney who, like, you know, turns up at a crime scene.
Yeah, he's sort of greasy, kind of.
Yeah.
And then his kind of desiccated daughter with her hollowed out eyes. And then kind of coming between them, Anna, this figure who is so sort of strange and otherworldly.
Yeah, I think the use of the wig and glasses, it probably isn't supposed to be a wig. But it's not great. It does really lend itself to more brilliant physical comedy, I thought. But there's also this real kind of beauty and sort of sensitivity from her as well. I kind of couldn't take my eyes off her.
I know. I thought she was quite amazing. And I loved her in the scene where two people are making out in the stairwell of her building, and she walks past them and then walks back and kind of stares at them. And I thought, again, there I thought that the film, I don't know, I thought she was going to start jerking off or something, you know. It could have gone anywhere.
So many moments
in the film that you, by the end, would not be surprised.
I mean, nothing would have surprised me in this film, because I suppose we should say that opening scene that sets the tone.
Brilliantly.
Yeah.
So well. They are at the scene of a hanging. And after cutting down the man who has hanged himself, they're talking about what they need to do with the body and whether the coroner's going to have to undress him or whether they're going to have to do that now. And as
this conversation's happening,
the body,
the
just
guy
kind of
who's been cut
up.
Down, just in again, beautiful physical comedy, sort of rolls himself over, and then up he pops, and he's just, they kind of all turn to watch him walk away. And it was such a brilliant way to kind of introduce us to, I guess, the sort of supernaturally, you're not really sure what is real or not within it. And they keep sort of drip feeding that in various moments. But I felt like it didn't feel like something that was tonally running through the whole thing, that every so often it caught you out. There were a lot of moments with Anna where Anna the medium actually does see someone, or does she? And you're left with a lot of questions about, I was left thinking, oh no, she actually is a medium.
Yes, me too.
We are in this universe, we are to believe.
Yeah.
She is a medium and people are contacting her.
completely. And I think that stems from just sort of all of this kind of crazy, almost competitive element to the film, you know, that character where she's just throwing so much at you, and it's sort of like an attack almost on you, because you're taking in this really laconic but also quite sort of exuberant at times comedic tone.
Yeah,
like I'm thinking about when Anna just shouts boo at the dad in that scene. That's so weird.
So weird.
there's no point to that scene apart from just to like get a really easy laugh.
Yeah, I guess so. But also that, yeah, she is just so unpredictable.
Yeah,
and
yeah. But all of that contributes to making the film so sort of to make you lose your footing at all points. And so it means that really anything could happen. It gives the film this incredibly weird and really particular vibe.
Yeah. I suppose nothing huge narratively really happens.
No.
But it is those odd moments where a figure will sort of flash up in frame, or a guy will stand up after he's been hanged, and
mm-mm.
that you are always on the lookout for something otherworldly or odd.
Mm.
I think the one that got me right at the beginning, and I couldn't stop thinking about it until the film ended and I had to rewind right to the start and watch it again, is after the hanging scene, they're sat having breakfast.
Yeah.
And there in the kitchen, sat with them, is this paper figure. Yes. In the kitchen, as the third person in the family. I mean, just so on the nose,
yeah.
Sort of representing this, you know, missing character in their lives. But what it was trying to do, or if it was, sometimes if it's trying to be too smart, or actually it's just going, let's plonk someone in here and give it something else a bit visually stimulating and
yeah.
sort of foreshadow where the narrative's going to go.
Well, I think that early scene does foreshadow stuff, doesn't it? Because it essentially it provides a kind of totally real answer to a question that seemed like it had been metaphysical, you know, like we're thinking that we're you know, querying death, and actually the guy wasn't dead at all, he just walks off.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of the way the film comes at its central story of, like, you know, is the father going to be able to reconnect with his dead wife? And then it ends with this extraordinary seance that just, I mean, I was looking at the runtime on the film and I was like, oh my goodness, not very much left, not very much left of this film. There's going to be a huge surprise.
You were thinking it was going to need to wrap it up.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my goodness. I mean, you know, if they're gonna get in contact with the wife, wow. it's gonna have to happen pretty soon.
That would be a bizarre scene if right at the end she goes, oh yeah, your wife says hi and not to miss her and she's doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all already happy.
I got in touch.
But what a brilliant choice, I thought the ending was. I loved it, and I thought what they'd set up, particularly with Anna, in this kind of, at times you really believe her and you're with her, and she has a really good heart, but then at other times she's kind of bonkers and also on her own sort of plane.
Yeah.
She doesn't really care. And to see her sort of trying to run the seance, and it obviously goes on for hours into the dark, and that just beautiful connection between the father and daughter.
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
Those four shots are just cut back and forth. And it's so simple, really. Just to see these two people on the verge of tears, but also just laughing in the ridiculousness of something, and they're finally able to connect after all this time.
Yeah.
I think it's a really very simple but lovely way of sort of approaching the topic of grief, which is what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah. Completely. It's like that look between father and daughter of just, they're doing so much in that scene, because it's just, you know, it's the communion of their shared laughter.
Yeah.
And then it's also, it's recognition of each other again after so long, and it's relief and grief as well coming out.
Yeah, it feels like it's the first time they've been able to share with in one another's grief.
Yeah.
They've both been grieving over however long it's been since the mother passed away, but it it seems like they've never actually been able to acknowledge it of one another. I just got this real like sense of hope between them at the end, like it's actually, it is going to be okay.
Mm-mm-mm.
And we are able to now share, and I kind of feel like in terms of Anna's eating disorder, that not it's all going to be fine, but I just felt like hope that actually there's that scene where she describes her anger towards her father, but I mean he was just unable to give her the love and attention that she needed during that time.
Yeah, that scene is, I wanted to talk about that scene a bit because it's really weird, and again it kind of gives a good example of the way the film is so difficult to approach, because to begin with I was looking at it almost as pure comedy and thinking, yeah, this is going to be funny, like, you know, I mean, you know, that the medium is saying stuff like your father is this scarf, right, and she's having to address,
yeah, they're
the
doing
scarf
this role play,
and they're getting some poor, you know, hapless other young woman with an eating disorder to kind of stand there holding the scarf. And then it is sort of played for laughs a bit as well.
Oh, definitely.
And yet there's something real happening as well.
So close, and you're going, this is ridiculous, ridiculous. And then for me it was when she starts pushing this bag and the three of them are all sort of stumbling.
Hurtled backwards.
And it's actually quite like arresting, all of a sudden, like, oh fuck, this is real raw emotion coming out. And just cutting back to Anna, and I thought her performance was brilliant. So lovely that we were able to laugh in that moment, and it's just a split second, that's all you need to see. I don't think it was, what I loved about it was an incredibly emotional film, I found, that was sort of looped in with all this comedy, but actually it's not sentimental in the slightest.
No.
And I really enjoyed that. I feel like, particularly with narratives and films that deal with mental health and body dysmorphia and things like that, that it can often be far too kind of, it's very kind of Hollywood, you know,
mm-hmm.
very over the top, and it's drama, and actually I love the kind of the normality in it.
Yeah. And,
I wish that we would get to see that more often.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, it transfigures normality almost, you know, so that everything that is normal in this film and so real and, as you say, just completely evocative but also fairly stern, you know, not cloying or gloopy like you were saying, all of that normal stuff is sort of is represented to us so that we're looking at it through new eyes, you know. I'm thinking of like when the early on the coroner is just sitting in his house and then the daughter walks past with completely bent over backwards, you know.
Yes.
And she's sort of like she's being a chicken or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that sort of stuff, again, is so jarring.
But it's actually feels so normal.
Right, yeah.
Actually, yeah, maybe you're kid would just be sort of contorted walking through the house and you're just there eating your sandwich or whatever and you don't think anything of it.
Yeah. And again,
loved that.
It was so good.
That's the sort of thing that I want to see in films more.
Me too.
When you kind of are taken away but you're also just, you're still in their flat and he's still just got his glass of vodka or whatever.
Yeah. And how do you even write that in the screenplay? No. You know, like how are you conveying that that's what the scene is going to be? And I
feel like editors would just go, oh, get rid of that.
Yeah.
What's the contorted chicken walking thing?
She waddles past kind of bent over backwards like a chicken.
Also, I know if I was an actor and read that my
you
character...
You are an actor.
If I had been given that bit of stage direction to do,
yeah,
I would have like really copped out and just done like a kind of old granny, like hand on the back, sort of hobbling through the room, like... She goes for it.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's some real stuff.
Yeah.
And again, it like that scene is so beautiful because it takes us to the theme of the body in the film. It's the film's title.
It's called Ciao.
It's called Ciało.
Which is body in Polish. Because the film's all about bodies.
Yeah, it is about bodies. And I'm sort of... I suppose it's called body in a way because that's... Because of that lack of sentimentality that we were talking about,
right.
You know, it could have been called, you know, I read an interview with the director where she was saying, like, it could have been, we could have said body and soul or something like that.
Right.
But obviously that would be incredibly
no. Sort
of weaselly and, you know, too on the nose.
Mm.
And I think it's so dry being called body. It's like, yeah, these are shells just trying to sort of cope with. Yeah, they're trying to cope with eating and the physicality of grief and of kind of recognizing another person in front of them.
And I think it's done really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Really well done. That's all I can think. Like, I'm really struggling to be so sort of even slightly critical of it because I really believe that what they wanted to do and present in their film, they did.
I know. I
don't think it's a flawless film, but
no,
I think
it's not.
A flawless approach at whatever they were trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. On everything it sets out to do, it succeeds, I think.
Yeah.
I think maybe sort of a slight criticism, if I have one, is I think it might be a little... The film might be a bit slight. But again, I don't know. Like, it doesn't have to be this great
almost
big
in
object.
Its
slightness, there is so much that I think that's kind of what we were picking up on is that it is in those odd moments and in those kind of the bits that feel normal that are totally absurd that they're giving us a lot to play with. It feels quite a generous film in that respect that we can kind of chew it over in our own time, and I don't think it necessarily always is going to hugely impact the way that you will enjoy the rest of the film. You know what I mean? Like, seeing that paper figure in the kitchen in, like, the second scene, I mean, I kind of kept that with me the whole time, but Adam, who I was sat with watching it, didn't notice it, and I enjoy all that stuff that actually it could be quite slight and very simple and it gets done in 90 minutes, but there's so much that you can pick around.
Yeah.
I thought visually it's stunning.
Beautiful
it's
film.
Shot so well. And a lot of the time we found ourselves going, whoa.
Yeah, that's... yeah. I'm afraid I forgot the name of the cinematographer. I want to say somebody Englert, I think, was...
Like
the name of the cinematographer. Go on, look it up on your telephone.
I will. I'm not actually.
That's fine. Sorry. Okay, well, I'll just put it in a tweet.
Yeah.
We'll shout him out.
We'll say, well done, yeah.
Yeah, well done.
They've worked together a lot, I noticed, on IMDb.
Right, yeah, and he co-wrote the film, I think.
Oh.
I believe.
Very talented.
Yeah, really talented, but that image making is incredible, I think.
Yeah.
It's sort of, and again, in the way the film takes things at a tangent, it's really beautiful on Poland and on, you know, like the Warsaw that it depicts as well.
Yeah, just Polish architecture, all the kind of like...
Yeah.
It's like Soviet stuff, and then you're more kind of like modernist. It's very, I mean, it's quite simple to shoot it, really. A lot of like hard lines and symmetry, so it is... probably going to be quite nice to point a camera at, but also like playing around with a lot of frames I found interesting, a lot of mirrors or like reflections in windows.
Yes there's a beautiful shot of the attorney eating his lunch in a cafe, you know, and then all of the outside is filmed on the window that he's looking through, and you just see him kind of through those pictures.
I think it's really nice to see, again, it's, I don't know what the genre is and does it really matter, but to see something comedic shot so beautifully. And I think that's particularly important with the more physical element of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I think sort of putting it in that sense of place was really important.
Yeah, it gives it that necessary context.
Yeah.
I love that shot also of when the attorney takes his daughter down to the river that was near the... What?
I just thought that was hilarious.
So,
she was like, why are we here? And he's like, oh, I thought it was nice. Came here for work because there's a hanging up there.
There was somebody who got hanged. And then there's just a beautiful shot of a train crossing the river, yeah. You know, just after that. And it's so sort of... It is
beautiful, but it is bleak.
Yes, it's poignant and ridiculous.
Perfectly sums up the film, really, in that moment.
Completely. Also, can I just mention another scene that I really loved where...
I just mentioned my whole place.
Yeah, I'm just going to make sure that no scene is left untouched. That's the podcast, scene by scene, but not in the right
this
order.
This one was so beautiful. We loved that one. What's next? That was good. Funny line there.
This bit was good. Yeah. Funny actor...
Very funny.
The one that I loved was when the attorney notices this woman being attacked outside his flat. And then, like, all of these three guys are just, like, chucking buckets of water at her. And he notices it, and you're like, and it's alarming. And
Adam went, oh, my God, no. And then it just cuts to the attorney going.
he's just laughing, and that's it.
What? Great. It's so much fun.
I know.
I'm not much of a repeat watcher of films, but I think I would happily sit through that again.
Oh, I'd watch it again.
And I'd like to share it with people, actually. I think with regards to the podcast, it was particularly well chosen because I feel like it's... And I'm glad I watched it with Adam. Like, it's something that you definitely want to share.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got the film rented for another 24 hours, of course, on Amazon.com. So I've still got... I might rewatch it in the next...
Yeah.
In the next day.
Yeah. I feel like I should have bought it. They need to do something about that on Amazon. If you've rented it and you regret that.
That's right.
You pay an extra £2 during your 48-hour period.
Oh, my God. Bezos missing an opportunity to make another buck.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Call me Bezos.
You should pitch that to him, honestly.
Yeah.
There could be about £20,000 in it for you, I reckon, coming up with that idea.
Yeah, that's not even pocket change.
That'll make him, like, exactly. That'll make him another, half a billion.
Yeah.
And you can go on holiday.
Holiday on 20 grand?
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going on like 10.
10 holidays.
10 2 grand holidays.
My year of post-COVID 2 grand holidays, Bill Milner.
Oh my God, yeah.
Where are you going?
And then I'm going to get that made into an Amazon documentary. I got so Bezos beautiful. In my pocket.
Cornwall for your first one.
Yeah, I've done that.
Package Malta for number two.
Love. I really do want to experience a package holiday. talking holidays and trying to bring it back to the film.
Yeah, sorry.
Poland's a lovely country.
Oh, yeah. I really liked Warsaw when I went.
And I've never been to Warsaw.
Apparently, it's the capital, the European capital of veganism.
What?
Yes, there's more vegan restaurants in Warsaw. I'll have to check this, but I'm pretty sure per capita than in any other European city.
Well, that's fascinating because...
Is it?
Yeah. Well, only that me and Adam eat quite a lot of Polish food now.
Okay, yeah.
Not a vegetable in sight.
Yeah.
It's just lots of dried meats.
Oh my God. Also, actually, that's a really good point because how disgusting is the food in this film?
Yes, which is obviously very poignant
for
Olga's story.
What's
the line that pops up a couple of times? Oh, you like it spicy.
Oh yeah.
When he's like putting paprika on his chicken.
And when he's like, if it's spicy, you can eat anything if it's spicy.
Yeah, you can eat anything if it's spicy enough.
Oh my gosh. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And especially when he's kind of browbeating his younger assistant, you know, in that
a character
cafe.
I would have liked to have seen more from,
yeah,
I think,
too.
Actually.
Yeah, pretty guy.
Yeah, a pretty boy,
yes.
Which is always nice, but also a sort of interesting paternal role that he plays to someone else not giving time for his daughter it's a classic.
Yeah, and he allows that figure to show the full extent of his kind of atheistic cynicism.
Yeah, he's completely... excuse the pun, dead to seeing corpses.
Yes.
And, you know, the kid is really kind of visibly shaken.
Mm, mm, mm.
And he's like, you've got to got to get over it. But
yeah,
which is, I think, a really interesting thing, you know, that his approach to death and the dead when it comes to his work is, it's whatever, but clearly the grief and loss of his wife has really hit him.
Yeah. And I think there's something generational there maybe as well, because his colleague, who is so shocked by the true horrors, you know, absolute horrors of the things that they've seen.
Yeah.
It's sort of hoping for something better. And I think maybe the attorney's daughter as well, in all of her anger, is hoping as well for something better. And he, from his previous generation, is kind of resigned to all of that misery. I thought maybe there might have been some kind of comment there on, you know, on that sort of generational divide in Poland. I don't know.
No, that's, I wish I had more context with which to understand the relationships of the generations, and I feel like there is a lot there that Adam probably got and didn't share with me.
Bastard.
I know. I thought it was very interesting how he almost picked over his daughter's bedroom when he sent her to the rehab center. He almost picked over her bedroom like a crime scene. In a real kind of like...
He's so unemotional about her disorder as well. Mm. And that's really a hard element in the film too, just when he's slapping her to, you know, he doesn't show grief or horror when he finds her body.
He doesn't want her back. The hospital say she doesn't have to be here anymore. He goes, I wanted to stay there longer. Which I just think really, really earns that ending. That final connection between the two of them is so well earned.
It's beautiful. And also because you sort of don't realise while the film's happening that that's kind of the end point of the movie, you know. You don't really, well, I didn't at any rate, get that it was about that reconciliation between them. You know, that kind of happens as a sort of, as a kind of... what's the word, dog's leg or something, you know, just going off out to a tangent. It's, you realize, oh, this reconciliation had been on the cards and we'd been hoping for it, and it had been so necessary, and it was hidden behind everything.
That's what we needed.
Yes,
but I think while I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, I really hope Olga gets in touch with their mom. Anna gets in touch with Olga's mom. There are those little flashes of perhaps the people that Anna is seeing through her mediumness. You kind of think, oh, there's more there. We're going to finally like meet someone, or we're really going to get that part of the story.
No, it's so dry. Loved it. I think also, and we can probably wrap up in about 5 minutes, because otherwise it's just going to be us just going like,
going, yes.
And another thing,
and
honey.
And it was good. And yes.
And that bit was
I
good.
I loved it. So great. so good.
But I do think, like, I think the thing that I appreciated most about the film was that it's, you know, it made space for real pleasure, you know, and that pleasure can come from the comedy, but it can also come from recognizing the craft and the element of performance that was there. And it's not a, you know, it's not a drab film. It's not bleak either.
No.
It's this weird kind of... It's such a striking tone that's really hard to put into words.
Yeah, we've given ourselves a hard job, really, having to talk about it. But I think you've actually done a very good job at summing up what I kind of felt about it, is that, it just makes me smile even thinking about it. Everything, that opening scene with the hanging, the ending scene, just two beautiful moments that bring a smile to my face in a very odd way. Just the casting in general.
And it's under an hour and a half.
Guys.
Oh my goodness. I mean, we can't sell this film anymore.
Turns out this is my favourite film ever.
This has been an extended advert for Body. Javel.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. All right, should we start ending there?
Yeah.
When I say start ending, you know.
Right, what do we do?
I don't know. We just
say 5 out of 5.
We do, exactly.
5 stars.
Yep. How many stars out of five? You're saying five.
I think five.
Yeah, for me, it's a five. We've not done, like, I've never done a star rating for any other film.
No.
But for this film.
But also, obviously, it would be me being the first guest to bring in just star ratings. What is it? Five. Love it.
Until you go see it.
Go tell your mates.
Until you came on the podcast, I'd never even heard of star ratings. I didn't know that you could do it. Mm.
Sometimes they do out of 10. And sometimes they imagine them being tomatoes.
Like, I get it. Like,
that
five...
said, went on Rotten Tomatoes. Not everyone likes it.
Oh my God.
It was like a 6.5.
I mean,
where
I read
all these miserable people.
The dumbest review of it on variety.com. Absolutely bullshit.
Right.
And it's the.
Well,
and
they're
it's
not the... paying you again.
I've never been featured on Variety.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I know. I know. And after this, I never will be. I've already torn them to shreds on the Twitters anyway.
Oh, right.
But this particular writer, I think, really kind of didn't get, you know, the film sensitivity, and he thinks it's making light of all of the stuff
that it's
touching on, and that it doesn't attain, you know, a deeper kind of level.
People either wanted it to be more serious or funnier.
Yeah.
I just noticed a lot of people going, is this a comedy? It's a weird comedy. Or people going, like, that's a very sensitive topic to be kind of approaching like this.
Mm.
Have a bit of fun, guys. It's a movie. It's an hour and a half of your life.
And it's a five out of five film.
It's five out of five. Get the fire exit door. Fuck this, I'm out.
Fire up your computer. Download it from Amazon. Five out of five. You're going to love it. Now, under an hour and a half.
Give Bezos your money. Over and out.
Okay, so that's the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening. I can't remember who my next guest is, but we'll sort someone out, don't worry. And thank you so much, Bill, for coming on the show. Really appreciated it.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, bye.
No.
What? Not mine?
Yeah, bye.